If you're listening on podcast, be sure to tune in to our YouTube channel on YouTube at Wild and Weird WV.
Welcome to Wild and Weird Radio, a Wild and Weird West Virginia podcast.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way to Wild and Weird Radio Holiday Special Edition, guys. How's everybody doing?
Oh, come on. How are we doing? Seriously? How are we doing? Come on.
We've got the always amazing Reverend Michael Cotter hanging out with us tonight doing the holiday special. Ron is extra jolly. For everybody who's listening to us out there in Radio Land, you're going to want to at least look at some of the advertising marketing because Ron is wearing his Santa hat.
See, now I used to wear the, you know, you think that's something, but believe it or not, I used to actually wear this when I worked retail to keep myself in the mood, because God knows, I know you all out there who work in retail, and bless every single one of you, it got you through. It really
remember
got you
when we did it at the pet shop and I had that 6 foot long one.
I got one coming, yeah. And if the folks, hopefully it's here in time. If so, then time travel. I will have had it on, and you would have got to see it last night on the live, because that's when it's supposed to be here.
Jingle all the way, baby.
Oh, my Brandon God. Hey, man.
Check it.
So we're just doing the updates. How you doing, man?
The gang's here.
Oh, I've been trying to decorate in here. That's what was taking me so long.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I see the Christmas lights. Look at you. They're extra festive. You've got your sweater. I've got my green Grinch lights up.
You're all lit up.
That is fantastic. I think we've all, I think we're all in the right frame of mind.
We're in the right mood.
This one.
That's right.
Yeah. Joe, you can tell the Reverend, because he may have seen it, he may not have, and he's a busy man, but you got a very, very special present.
I did, and he's currently upstairs, not under the tree, except for at night before the kids go to bed. We put him under the tree, but otherwise we leave him from up high, so that way he isn't used as a bludgeoning device. Mm-hmm. But we finally have the Cacatillo, which is the pooping log from Spain.
Yes.
It is one of the coolest Christmas traditions. And it doesn't get any better than the Cacatillo because, you know, when you're dealing with the holidays, there's nothing that can make it better than... And that is the Cacatillo.
That can make it better.
That's the pooping log.
Yeah. Yes. So what you do is you feed this log all the way up to Christmas. Uh-huh. And then the kids go outside or into another room and you move this log out and you replace it with a much larger, fatter log. And you put a blanket over the backside and you put a ton of candy underneath the blanket, and then the kids beat the log with a stick, and they're singing a song.
Yeah,
can you saying give song? Us sweet treats, so we'll be less fierce. Give us sweet treats, and we'll stop beating you, log. Oh, and God. Then you pull away the blanket, and the log has given you all kinds of sweet treats because you festively thrashed it.
Yes, I love it. Man, I love it.
Humans are amazing.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
If you think about it, some of the stuff we come up with.
That we come up with.
Yeah. And so that's this addition to our household as well as Ron's, because Ron, you have one now too, correct?
Yeah, I've got one, yeah. Yeah, I got us both one. But
so yeah. it was fantastic.
That was great.
I love.
We had a
way better than that Elf on a Shelf thing.
Oh gosh, yeah. This is our mission. I think at this point, every holiday, we are going to make sure that this thing beats the Elf on the Shelf.
I mean, yes,
that's just it. So yeah, that's gonna be great. We had an incredible show last week for you guys who didn't watch or didn't listen or tune in. I don't know why you didn't, but you need to. That was when the Reverend was with us, and that was War of the Gods. And boy, mm-hmm. it has some incredible comments that were put up there on the live premiere of it Friday. And everybody loved this episode. Everybody loved this episode. It really made them think, Reverend. I mean, it really made them think.
Some people from my, a friend from my church who's probably listening now, she listened to it and she said it was wonderful. So, I mean, that's, we're doing our job.
We touched it in the right way.
Yeah.
We went about it the exact right way.
Yeah. We're being respectful to people's belief and just giving, you know, another take, and they can run with it or not.
Exactly. Put it on the table. You don't have to, you don't have to glue that puzzle together and take it home and frame it, but you got to at least put it together on the table.
You know, it's just hearing another perspective.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, speaking of which, we have another great perspective tonight as we were going to delve back into the whole ancient astronaut lore. Mm. And we're going to look at some of these Christmas and holiday traditions in general, not just Christmas. And man, there's some definite correlations that you can see there, right? I mean,
yeah. I think so. Well, before now, we were talking about, before we came from backstage, we were talking about the Magi.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, what's so fascinating about them is, well, there's a lot, but, you know, they're coming from the East. Now, it's kind of, there's some ambiguity there because we don't know whether they were traveling East or they came from the East. But what it does is that because of them, and it sounds almost like Buddhists, they were not Jewish.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? They were not Jewish. So it gives kind of an international flavor to this story. Now, we know by the time we get to the New Testament, Christianity is flourishing and it's more of an international, when you get to Acts and the epistles, we know it's an international kind of belief system. But they come on and it's almost a Buddhist thing. They're not they're looking for an enlightened being. Which you see in the Buddhist tradition, they're looking for the Bodhisattva, and they know that this being is born this night in this region.
And from historical accounts, you know, you hear some conflicting things from where they traveled from.
Yes,
they're often said traveled from the East, and historically speaking, it took about 3 years for their travel.
Right.
From the time they began following the star, from the time they began following that light in the sky, it took 3 years, roughly, to reach their destination.
Yeah, that's a little ways.
That's a trip. So you would assume, like, you're clearly not in the Middle East, because this isn't Moses walking around the same mountain for 40 years.
Right. Right. And so, yeah, they're coming in
the star,
and there and you know, there's some astrology involved, obviously, and we think the star was a ship, because a ship, you know, a star doesn't stop over mangers and shines a light on, and if it did, we'd have tsunamis and it would be a hot mess.
Gravity really bad,
buddy.
Oh my god!
I've seen so many pictures of this giant planet that everyone's taking pictures of all the time, and you know, that's
I think this was a ship.
Oh yeah.
And then you have the angels singing, and or at least what they said was singing. So here you have it's the stage is set, and for this child, and for what, you know, what his mission was, what his parents had to go through. You have these beings come and talk to Elizabeth, Miriam, you know, Mary's cousin, John the Baptist's mother. And then we have I think it's Gabriel who's all in the Quran, but he comes to talk to Mary. So they have these beings. I mean, you know, they call them angels, angelos in Greek, melek. But the thing about angels is they tell you what they do, but they don't tell you what they look like or where they come from.
Right.
You know, and here is that story. And all through the Old Testament, we're having all these, you know, the angel comes to Samson, the angel comes to Sarah and Abraham, and the, you know, they're just coming with these. It's a book of many things, but it's a book of our ancestors interacting with these beings.
Yeah,
and oftentimes terms, they don't care about walls.
No, in today's terms,
they're unfazed by any structure that you surround yourself with.
No.
On human intelligence, or as we hear in the abduction lore, visitors, because they can through walls and straight through material.
Yeah,
so, yes.
And so, you know, and the ancestors of these folks have been living with them through all these thousands of years. You know, when you pick up, I mean, these beings on Earth, I mean, we call it an invasion today. You know, colonization, some of these beings were, all of them are warlike because they're always fighting with each other. And some of them are fighting with each other and are kinder to humans. And some of them are warlike and they're not so kind to humans. So this is the world that our ancestors lived in, and this is the world that this baby is born into. A far cry from where we are now, where everything is repressed and don't talk about it. Yeah. Even though that was going on back then. That's how we got the Hebrew Bible the way we got it, with Hezekiah and Josiah taking out all the references to these star people. Because we talked about last time that we want a monotheistic religion. We want one king, one temple in Jerusalem, one high priest. So we see where this is the table is set now. And so this being, this child is already, now that we know, is special, is being watched over. This is an event, much like it was, you know, with Buddha and Lao Tzu and all these other figures of history. There's all this lore around them. But we live on this, in this part of the world, so this is what Western culture is focusing on, the season of Advent and then Christmas and thereafter. But you can see where this is not only a UFO story, but it's there. It's right there in the text. We're not making it up.
Yeah.
You know, and so for those listening, don't want to, violate anybody's belief system. That's not what I'm trying to do. Certainly not what we're trying to do. But we are saying that if you go back and look at this story and do some research around some other stories, you can see that, wait a minute now, what's going on here? What's really going on here? And here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it illustrates it better than just about anything. And I always told Joe, like, years ago, it's like, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're into the whole ancient astronaut thing. You don't believe in God. I'm like, oh, no, on the contrary. That's not it at all.
That's not true at all.
That's not true.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly right. And a lot of people, they just get that in their head and they want to think, oh, you must be an atheist. Well, absolutely not. No, if anything,
no, far from it. The thing is, though, is that for people like us who believe in a populated universe, if we're willing to concede, and we are, four of a gentleman here, that we're not alone, It forces you to have to think about what that word God really means. What does that energy really mean? Yep. And you have to find it out for yourself as opposed to someone telling you what it is. And I think we'll get into that a little more as the hour or so goes on, because I want to later in the show if we go there, I want to say that I'm not sure Jesus is worshiping Yahweh. I'm not sure that Jesus is talking about the same God of the Old Testament.
Right.
I can point out some verses and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And there's that is a stance that a lot of theologians wound up traveling down eventually. The longer they're in it, they travel that road. And they study that, and you know, we'll probably have some time to get there. But with what Ron was saying, what you were saying as well, you know, from my position where I'm at, being, you know, I was a former minister and still kind of like I help people and things like that.
You still are a minister.
Yeah, I believe in the Creator God.
You still are.
You know, right.
Yeah. And, but once you're there, you're always there.
Yeah.
You're a Roman.
The Creator God, yeah, right?
You're always there.
God, the Creator. All things are creation, and that populated universe is not outside of creation.
It's a sandbox. No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It had to be created. It had to be generated somehow. And mathematicians and all these different, astrophysicists and all that, they say that there's no way that this just kind of happened. Mm-hmm. Whether you're looking at it from a simulation theory, someone had to create the simulation. If you're looking at it from a position of just this catastrophic Big Bang accident, how did the Big Bang happen itself? Because I can get on board with the Big Bang. I'm not against that.
Someone dropped the beaker.
Someone ignited the bang, and then
the star for no reason.
Right.
Someone drops a beaker. Whoops.
And when you turn on a light, when you flip a light switch, that light, when it comes on, it makes a sound.
Mm-hmm.
You make that on a universal scale, it probably sounds like a bang. And when someone says, "Let there be light," burn, you know, turn that light on a universal scale, you're going to get a big noise. But
yeah,
you know, getting off that, it's not, like you said, it's not mutually exclusive.
No, it's not. You know? It's not. It's not. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. What I'm saying to you guys now, you know, I this is something I've been just really opening up to the last maybe 2 years, but really more intensely the last 18 months. And, you know, in my books, you know, I wasn't the only one, but we talked about, you know, that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started writing. I mean, I didn't begin. I was Barry Downing, obviously, Brother Eric Van Doniken, and, you know, we can go on and on and on. What I've been doing the last 18 months and just talking about it with you guys. I mean, I may have been on one other show where I've gone into this and one other conference. So this is kind of fresh for me. Is that OK? It's one, now we got it. We live in a populated universe. But now we have to go, well, what does that mean for us today?
Right. More so now than we ever have.
Yeah. It's now we're past that. We're not alone. And now you go back and you start looking, as we did with some of these other beings. And we looked at how Judaism was becoming monotheistic and, you know, airbrushing out all of these other beings. So we've been trained that monotheism is the correct way to look at religious life. And we're finding out that it really wasn't at the beginning. And so, if these beings taught us astronomy, astrology, how to build cities, sanitation, medicine, that kind of thing, money, introducing money, how we use time, calendars. Look how that has changed, because now you get a hierarchy. If you got a banking system, because they taught us how to use money and those kinds of things, now you got haves and have-nots. Now you got people who are running the banks and people who aren't. Do you see? Now you got people lending. Now you got people owning land. And we got that from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see how it affects us today, because, you know, and I'm not blaming this on them, but you can see how we have, you can see where things are more equitable and things aren't, because they ruled and we didn't worship. Our ancestors didn't worship them. Our ancestors, later we did.
Yeah.
But our end, they made us as a slave race. So, you know, we were serving them. At least the Anunnaki, the Nephilim. I think they're all the same people who sometimes we're just using. But we were their servants. And so later on, we tried to emulate them. Tower of Babel, if you're looking in Western stuff, if you're looking at Epic of Gilgamesh, and if you're looking at the Vedas. But we were invaded and colonized.
I mean, that's essentially what it is.
Yeah, that's the words we would use now.
Yeah. Occupation.
That's the story of the Native Americans tell, too, isn't it?
What's that?
Because it happens. Mm-hmm. And some people use that analogy that if a race or of higher technology and intelligence, yes, if you run into them and, you know, they're not doing a prime directive, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that always happens. But it has been the history. You know, people say, well, if they're so advanced, why do they do this? Well, you can ask the same thing of the Portuguese, right? You can ask the same thing of the British. You know, you're so advanced, then why are we having slavery and taking resources and whatever? So this is a history of humanity on this planet.
Yeah.
And you can also
it's hard to wrap your mind around that. Because we're thinking, you know, a whole different paradigm. But it all because our idea of God is now shattered. And mm-hmm. we have to put the pieces back together, each one of us in our own way. But I like that idea. Because then you can say, I've experienced something with God or the force or the prime move or whatever word. And no one, you don't need me. You don't need a priest. Or you don't need us to interpret it for you. You've experienced it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. Exactly.
And that's what religion doesn't want to understand.
That's spirituality.
Because we, you know, you don't get it. I went to school, so let me tell you about it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I went to school, and I'm glad I did, and I can articulate stuff and what have you. Sometimes the education gets in the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get so educated that you just screwed your head up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can, so you experience it one-on-one. You don't need a priest. You don't need a minister. We can be guideposts, but you don't need that. I think, and the people who've done that through history, the Buddhas, the Jesuses, the Joan of Arcs, they were ahead of their time and they got in big trouble, but now we can learn from them and have our own experience. So you can say, I don't believe in God, the force, the prime mover, whatever. I know.
Yeah.
I know why, because I experienced.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the more you can explain it, the better off it is, because any God you can explain is not a God.
It's true. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, if you can explain it, then you know what I mean? Because the finite can never comprehend the infinite. Okay. Maybe when we get out of these bodies, but while we're in the bodies, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and that was something that I used to teach a lot of, which was that the finite cannot comprehend the infinite. The natural cannot comprehend the supernatural.
Yeah, at least not for long periods of time.
Right.
You can have a eureka moment.
You'll have that revelatory moment.
Yeah, you can be jogging. You could be doing the Kama Sutra. Yeah. You could be meditating. Yeah. You know, you know the tantric thing. They get into that oneness, and you can have one of those moments. Like, oh, but you can't sustain it.
But it's like a lightning flash.
Right. It's but once you have it, you never go back.
Flash, and then it's over.
You can't.
And you never go back.
And
you can't go back to the old way because you've seen the new way.
Yeah.
It's not only that. It's that we. Okay, you've heard it said multiple times that, you know, what is it that they like to say that the visitors look at us as some like containers or vessels, something like that. If you think about
it. Some of them say that.
I know, I don't really buy it. But if you really think about it, though, if you really think about that, we're kind of like that. We have a soul, you know, that kind of sets us apart. The soul is energy. It is who we are, or who we will be and who we have been, so to speak. You know, never created, never destroyed. It's transfer of energy. But my whole thing is, if you look at these terminologies and we just set these things in certain ways, man, I don't know why people are fighting, because it's right there. Like you said, it's in different terms. It's terminology. Right? I mean, is that just me?
No, I don't think it's just you. I don't mind the vessel analogy, because it reminds us that we're more than our bodies. That when these vessels, when we let go of these vessels, we still exist. As you said, you quoted Einstein, right? Energy cannot be created or destroyed, just transformed. But I think that, you know, what we're talking about, I think, if you really think about it, it's really mind-blowing and it's difficult to accept.
Yes.
You know, Michael, so you're saying that extraterrestrials came and conquered this planet and took it over, and this is what our ancestors... I mean, that's far out.
Yeah.
But when you look at the narratives, whether they're in Ghana, Nigeria, in the Viking land or whatever, they're all talking about it. They're telling the same stories. And so it's something to sit with. If I hadn't been an experiencer, I wonder if I would have accepted it.
I would,
because I wasn't accepting it. I mean, I went from a really fundamentalistic worldview, you know, very conservative. It was the save and not save. Mm-hmm. And I went there, but it didn't work for me anymore. And then I was having these experiences. So, but I'm wondering, and it's just speculation, suppose I wasn't opened up. Maybe I do know the answer, because I was moving away from that before they came, but you get my drift. And so it's really, really hard to let this in. You have people in our government who won't let it in. There's a lot of people in Congress and in higher echelons of our government who say these beings, first they didn't exist at all.
Right.
Now they exist and they're demons.
Yeah.
So it's progress that I believe in them now, not in them, but I can't make, you know, now they're bad.
Yeah.
So It takes away your worldview, and I get it why people don't want to let it in. It's intense.
It is intense.
Because everything that we've been taught,
you're getting this mixed bag of information. Yeah. You have one side, like you were saying, who is going the demon route. You have another group saying non-human intelligence. They're not putting any qualifiers towards good or bad. Mm-hmm. And then you have the group that are still in all out denial.
Yeah. Non-human intelligent ones are probably playing the safeguard. That's probably where you should be, honestly.
Yeah.
If you're not going to, you know, go the other way, because some of these people are just, they're damaging the whole thing.
Yeah.
My whole thing is that like, Michael's is kind of painting this picture of here. We could be part of something so much bigger than what we are. And like kind of what I was saying, like we have this limited, we're in this body. We have this brain. That's it right here. This is all that we can process. This is all that we can deal with. If I have a computer, which I do, and I make that computer do a lot of things, and if I overtax that computer, what's it do? Shuts down, restarts itself. That's what it does, because it can't do anymore.
Which he also does more often than not.
Not anymore.
But you forget, Ron, you have your heart.
That's right.
And that's what makes the difference.
That's true.
That's what makes the difference. And that's why we got all this stuff, this anxiety about AI, which I get. But you know, we still have what makes us human is the heart. And once you forget that, then the gig is up.
No, it's true. That's absolutely true.
But that's another topic for another time. And so here we are. It's Christmas time. And, you know, there's this child who for some folk is a savior. For some folks is a way shower, an example of how to live a committed life. For some people, he really doesn't exist. He's a myth. But we all have to deal with this, those teachings. And, you know, if you're Jewish in America, you don't celebrate Christmas, but you need to know about Christmas because you're surrounded by it. Right.
Yeah.
If you're an atheist in America and you don't believe in Easter, or, you know, we've all got to deal with stuff because we don't live on an island by ourselves. We all have to interact. And that's the message. It's the message of this season for me, is that this individual, who I think was a hybrid, but even if he wasn't, has given us, and there were people before him, Buddha 500 years, you know, so there are teachers before, but has given us kind of like a blueprint of how we can negotiate and navigate the times that we live in, because he lived in hard times.
Yeah.
You know, he lived in an empire like we live in now, you know. You know, they are otherworldly teachings. He says that in John, but they're doable.
Right.
They're doable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're doable. And so there's an example of how to live.
Yeah.
Of how to love. Of how to, you know, I look at a cross and I look at it like, this part of the cross is my relationship with all that is my God, if you will, or the universe. And I look at this, the horizontal, and I look at how I deal with my fellow human beings, how I deal with sentient beings, how I deal with the planet. You know, that's why, you know, and if you draw a circle around that cross, now you got what? You got the medicine wheel of Native Americans. So it's all about the symbolism. Yeah. But I'm going through this for people who are listening. And you know, again, just to remind them, these are high holy days coming up. We just left, you know, Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
And, you know, we're going into the Christmas season and the solstice, which is really the reason for the season, because this predates all of it.
True.
But, you know, I just want to reiterate to folks that not trying to denigrate or disrespect your belief system, but just to know that there's another way to look at this story that's just as valid. And a lot of theologians and stuff will agree, but they can't come out and say it because they will lose their jobs.
Right. And part of the reason, you know, why we have this conversation exclusively with you is because the respect that we're all able to put towards these topics.
Yeah.
We're able to package it in a way that is respectful for everybody who's listening to this. It's not a forceful, hey, just look at this. Here's some
ideas. Yeah, it doesn't.
And we don't have this conversation with anybody else. You are the person that we have these conversations with.
And it's difficult.
That's it.
but you know, I mean, it doesn't take away from Jesus's mission. It certainly doesn't take away from the sacrifice that was made, and you know, cost him his life.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Rome played hardball, and but we see that there's more to the story than that.
Right.
But we also see that each and every one of us has the capacity and the potentiality to do the things he did. Well, he said we could.
Right.
You did.
And whether he was part extraterrestrial or all extraterrestrial or all human or whatever you want to, it doesn't take away from the story at all. If anything, to me, it enhances it.
Agreed.
That, right. It enhances the whole story.
Yeah.
That he's telling us about Abba, his father, and sharing that with us. Very different sensibility than Yahweh. And Yahweh, I don't think Jesus was talking about Yahweh at all when he's talking about the Father that he loves and that loves us or loves him, you know. I think that's the beauty of the story. But I think a lot of the troubles that we have in the world today are because of, you know, greed and lust and all the usual suspects. But because if your God is saying these are my people and these are not, and if your God commits genocide, and then if you worship that God, then you have to justify that. You have to justify an eye for an eye. You have to justify. And Yahweh does some things, and I can give you chapters to look at. That's, you know, that's not who Jesus was talking about.
Yeah.
It can't be.
This is not as polarizing as it used to be, right, guys? I mean, that's...
It's not. Like I'd said earlier, you know, there was a lot of theologians who look at this and they're taking these deeper looks into, you know, the various names that were used in the Old Testament.
Right,
know,
the translations.
The translations with, you know, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim,
El Shaddai,
Right. And especially when you start getting into Jehovah, because you have Jehovah and then each qualifier afterwards is like a personality trait, like Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. And so they're looking at these various aspects, and it's become less taboo for
theologians
and people of faith to look at these things and objectively say, is this like, we understand this is part of Judaism. We understand that this is part, this is where it all came from, but they're looking at it more compartmentalized than they have in the past where they lumped it all together. There's more dissection that occurs.
Right, and remembering that the Hebrew, that Genesis is just the story of the Gilgamesh told over again.
Yeah.
And so it's even Mesopotamian stuff. Yeah, and so if you look at it that way, because it is all about the translations, and I was listening today. The Bibles that they sell to families are different than the Bibles that they sell to scholars.
Oh, yeah.
And so the translations are different on purpose. And so, for instance, you will see things that should be plural that are not. The best Bible for those listening, or interlinear Bibles, the New Jerusalem Study Bible, I'm going to get one, because what they do is they're very transparent about what they don't know, and they'll have a footnote that says this is translated, you know, a plural, or this is translated as, and then you can start seeing, where this could be a sky, they're talking about sky people or what have you. It's called the New Jerusalem Study Bible Edition. They're not the only ones, but they're the best, I think. And you get an interlinear Bible if you want. But whereas the other Bibles, like I got a Greek Hebrew Bible here, and but they put Lord in where other Bibles would put, you know, where the my Tanakh would put Yahweh.
Yeah.
Or they would put, or God.
Yeah, I've seen that in a few of the translations that I've got here. Yeah, well, different study Bibles.
But in the Hebrew, it would be Elohim. It would be plural. And Yahweh is one of the Elohim. I want to give Yahweh a little bit of slack. Not much. Because when you go to Deuteronomy 32, when Elyon in the Hebrew, but they call it the Lord there, when they're giving out land, Yahweh gets Palestine. But remember, Yahweh doesn't get any land. He gets the people. That's why the people have to fight to take other people's lands.
Yeah.
Yahweh doesn't get any land. And so Yahweh is not the God of all the Jewish people, because remember, they're fighting among themselves. You know, Yahweh gets the house of Jacob. He doesn't get the whole house, like, of Abraham. So, you know, these, and they're right, these things are right there with the translations, but even without the translations, when we look at, what's the brother's name? Enoch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Enoch is writing from a perspective that these 200 angels were fallen. Okay. And they came down and they took wives. They said, boy, these women are fine. And they carried on. And they taught us, you know, they taught astrology, astronomy, cosmetics, you know, so you could look good, you know, taught you how to make weapons, these certain things. Now, he's saying they were fallen. So there's a theology there. And he's saying God, whom I'm thinking, this is a captain of a ship. This is not the all omniscient, omnipresent. I don't see that there, because what does God?
It's very finite. Like, it's almost like he's speaking about finite individuals.
Yeah. What does he need with a spaceship? If you're God, what do you need a ship for?
Right.
So I'm looking at it.
Right.
I'm looking at it.
you just quote Captain Kirk.
These are some people who are like on shore leave.
Yeah.
Right. And they come into port and they're getting drunk and they're fraternizing with the enemy. Now, the person who Enoch is calling God may be saying, you're not supposed to go native. That's not what we're here for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're here for strategic purposes. And they went into this zone and started marrying and making kids and teaching stuff. And that was a no-no. But that's a very different perspective than they're fallen and they're evil and they're bad. Now, I'm not saying there weren't some who were, and we talk about those. You see those.
Yeah.
But these beings, look what they gave. Look what they gave.
Because with what you just said there, there's distinctions that are made.
Yes.
With some of these ones that are like, these Azazel, we don't like him.
There's
other ones that are like, oh, and then he taught this, and he taught this, he taught this. Yeah, it's almost
you
like
elaborate
on, and like we like elaborate, this guy.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, Azazel is one of the names mentioned. Mm-hmm. Enoch gives some of the names of some of these folks, and he says there were two of them, and they, you know, in Exodus they landed on Mount Hebron, and but he was saying that they took wives. And they had kids, and that wasn't what the mission was about. It's about, like, let's say we went to Vietnam and we were there for a while and we got married, and you know that, you know, you're not supposed to do that. That's not what we're here for. But they did.
Tell my great uncle that.
You know, literally, you know, that
they did. They did. They were like, hey man, I you know, we're on shore leave. Mm-hmm. But then for some it was more than just shore leave. For some it was, let's see how this experiment works with these human beings.
Yeah.
And there's always that gray area there. Some of them were all fighting each other, but some of them fought each other, but still had a soft spot for human beings. You know, people, again, we bring up Asherah, who was really Ishtar, who was really Asheroth. And, you know, she was Yahweh's consort is the way they put it. But she, that's why Jeremiah is so upset when these people talk bad about Yahweh. They didn't want to be ruled by Yahweh. Yahweh wasn't a good ruler for them. They remembered her fondly. And that's why that's why they tore down every altar and everything to Asherah, because we don't want that. We're going to erase that.
Yeah.
If you look at the Vedas, if you look at the Upanishads, if you look at the Mesopotamian texts, they have no problem talking about female Elohim. Mm-hmm. Judaism is very male. and it's very patriarchal. And really, the only Elohim woman that we hear about is Asherah. But there were so many altars built to Asherah. Just look at Jeremiah. Look at you know, just look in the Bible, because she was a friend to humanity, teaching us what plants were good for consciousness, what plants were poisonous, making beer, those types of things. Again, but look where that leaves us today, Ron. So I'm just saying, you see how people, it's hard to wrap your mind around that. And these civilizations, you know, why would they make all this up? Why, you know, usually you want to say, well, yeah, we discovered this, or we learned how to build these roads. But they're saying, no, these people came down here and taught us, and some of them looked bizarre, and some of them were frightening, and some of them looked like serpent people. And you're going, what?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, and then there was this blue dude. He was cool.
What? But that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all over the world. It's not just
right. It's not just the Middle East. Like, you see these.
Look at Mesoamerica.
How could they, without coming in contact with one another?
Yeah. Yes. Look at the Popol Vuh. You know, Mesoamerica.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Mesoamerica. Yeah.
There's a story in the Popol Vuh that reminds me a little bit of the story of the Tower of Babel, because these beings are saying, "Oh no, we can't." They're getting above themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they trying to build this rocket ship because it wasn't a building, you know, and they said, no, we got to mess it up. We'll mess up their tongues, because they didn't want us to become like them.
Yeah.
They just wanted us to stay in our place. Well, in the Popol Vuh, there's a story where the gods are, you know, we're too noisy, it's too many of us, we're multiplying. And so what they do is they fly over and they spray a mist on the earth. And it dumbs the people down. Now, I got to tell you, brother, that sounds like some stuff we're doing now. They sprayed a mist.
Sounds like chemtrails. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. It's in the Popol Vuh.
That's the
Mesoamerican. So they didn't want us. A lot of these folks didn't want us. You know, they wanted us to be like we were in Eden. You're so stupid. You don't even know you don't have clothes on.
I mean, it's everywhere. Like you said, I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore that, isn't it?
Well, it's hard to let in. You know, the brother Chaim Meshad, we talked about him. You know, the Brigadier General, Christmas time, December 8, 2020. And he said that we've been in contact, Israel and America, we've been in contact with these beings for 70 plus years. If you do the math, that takes you right back to the Truman administration.
It does.
And we know
that's important. And that there's a council, there's a Galactic Federation. I mean, this is in the public domain. You can look at he said that there are some extraterrestrials who don't want us to, that they don't want disclosure yet. Not because we're just not ready, maybe spiritually, but we don't know about space. We don't know, you know, when we become a space-faring civilization and make a mess, and that there is collaboration, that there is a trading of technology. He said this. And they didn't medicate him. They didn't lock him up. They just let it hang out there.
Yeah. Because, like, think of this way. Even if you don't have kids of your own, if you have ever been around a toddler, you have followed this kid around going, no, don't touch that. No, go that way. And then when they start going that way, they're like, no. Imagine humans being the toddlers in space.
We are. They probably, like, you've seen the meme. They lock their doors when they lock their doors when they go, is that Earth? Lock your door.
You know, lock your door. There. Stay away from that. You know, the legends of that place.
Don't bring them on board.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, you know, we have Edgar Mitchell talking about it. They didn't lock him up. Yeah. Paul Hellyer, right? David Grush. Elizondo, you know, they're the whistleblowers.
You name it.
All these people, the very same people who are lying to us, have now switched, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. But here we are, and it's almost the same thing that we talked about with King Hezekiah and his grandson Josiah. We're going to airbrush the whole history that we're going to make. We're alone. There are no other gods.
Yeah.
And we need to keep that repressed.
And the same thing even happened in Egypt.
Yeah, all over.
You know, it happened in all these other religions as well, where you saw a polytheistic culture. All of a sudden, they would get a leader mm-hmm. who would say, okay, we are now monotheistic.
Yeah.
And begin switching everything over. You right, saw that
because
across.
Of greed. Yeah, yeah. Because it's just easier to govern.
Yeah.
It's easier to govern you. We don't want any trouble. You just do what we ask you to do. Mm-hmm. And so here you have it. So then we go back to when Jesus comes along and he's talking something else. If you look in John 8, he's arguing with some people and they're saying, you don't know anything about us. We're children of Abraham. You know, you don't know. And he says, well, if you knew I'm from God, why don't you understand me? Why don't you listen to me? If you really knew about God, he said, but you say your father is Abraham. He says your father was a liar from the beginning. It's right there.
Yeah.
John 8. And they worship Yahweh.
Well, I mean, you got to look at it.
Okay, so he's not talking about Yahweh. If Yahweh was his father, he wouldn't be talking about right. that. Hold on. Where are we? John 8, it starts at 31, verse 31. So he's constantly arguing with them.
Yeah.
He's constantly and you know, he says this I don't know how many times, but he says, Moses said this, but I say this.
Right.
So he's saying he's distancing himself mm-hmm. from that. He's distancing himself from the Yahweh way. When you get to Acts 15, that's when they really distance themselves, that you don't have to be Jewish, you don't have to be circumcised, you have to follow. So, man, that was the whole big thing in Acts 15. What do we do with Yahweh's traditions? But he's saying, I'm showing you a new way. We're going to do a new thing here.
Because you know what you're referencing there with in 31, you mm-hmm. know, it said, you know, it, like you were saying, it starts there in 31.
Yeah.
And then in, you know, they say we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we've been set free? And Jesus said, well, I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, then you will be free. And I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word.
Right.
I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. This is after while he's, you know, in bondage.
He's talking about two different.
Yeah.
You're talking about, well, you say your father. Yeah. I'm telling you about my father. So he's distancing himself.
Yeah.
From Yahweh.
Because 39, he says, they say Abraham is our father is what they answered. Because he's saying what you've heard from your father and what I've experienced right. in the presence of my father. And then he responds back, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I had heard from God. Abraham did no such things. You are doing the works of your own father.
Right, but Abraham was a Yahwist. He showed himself to Abraham.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. So that's my point. That he's saying I'm distancing. You know, he's not calling him by name, but he's saying I'm showing you it's a new way.
Father,
if you go to Numbers,
your father,
if you go to Numbers, go to Numbers 21. Yeah. Yahweh is angry at the people for complaining. And so they're saying, look, we're wandering around 40 years. You're giving us this manna. There's no, that's not even a Hebrew word for it. It means we don't know what it is. We're tired. They tell Moses, as Yahweh's agent, can you talk to this brother and can you get us some sustenance, some food? What does Yahweh do? He gets angry. He flips out.
He does.
And he sends them a stone and a serpent. Okay? And some people are bitten. And some even die. And then he makes a staff for them that is a serpent. And that's why some people say maybe he looked reptilian. In the meantime, remember, he didn't want you to have any craven images, right, in the Ten Commandments. Right. So all of a sudden, look at this. And if you look at this, I'll be healed. Okay. So they asked for food. He gave them a stone. So when you go to the gospel story, Jesus says, what kind of father, if their children asked them for bread, would give them a stone? Who's he talking about? He exactly. knows the scriptures. He's talking about Yahweh. So he's not worshiping Yahweh. But we've been told for over 2,000 years that Yahweh's God. All the people fighting in the Middle East right now, guess who they worship? And that Jesus is worshiping Yahweh. That's what we've been told.
And this is the state of humanity right now. Yeah. Literally. This is why we are where we are right now. You're right. I mean, I'm absolutely not going to say, oh, well, no, this doesn't sound right, because it does. It sounds 100%.
Well, you can go read it. If it may not sound
right. It's right there.
But you can go read it.
Not only that, it's in multiple books. It's not just in one.
Yeah.
Like you've literally, you know, it's there. You just have to go look. And you know, like I told you, after I had some of my experiences there, I walked away because it was a lot to comprehend on a belief system. And it takes a while to settle that out in your head. And then you continually learn, you know. But you're right. I mean, we have been essentially manipulated. You know, you had said, Joe, you know, creation, creator. There's still room for all that.
There is.
But the thing is, someone came along at some point and played that role. That's what it seems like.
What do you mean? What role are you talking about, Ron?
Well, they played the role of creator.
Well, yeah. But now, they didn't happen? Tell. Yeah, they didn't tell them. Hey,
right.
You know. But even. But we give our power away. What is it? It's in Acts. It's who is it? It's Paul. And someone else, was it Peter? Anyway, they come in and the people bow down to them and they say, get up. Don't do that. We're men just like you.
Yeah.
There's another, no, that was Peter and Paul. I know it was Paul. But there's another incident where there's an angel says, don't do that. It may be even at the resurrection, but don't get up, pull yourself together. Yeah. Just do what I asked you to do. You know, do what I asked you to do. They don't have time. You know, and when one of them comes to at the resurrection and Mary's talking to this angel and Mary reaches out to touch him, I think it's in John, and he said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Go to where I asked you to go. They don't have time to get into all that. I'm giving you my message. I'm an envoy. But there was but when you come to carve up a planet, you're not going to tell them that, because that's what you want.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So are we, this is the thing we were talking about for the past 3 weeks, the whole ontological shock thing. Could that happen again? If it does, can we expect humans
to... It's already happened, Joe. I mean, Ron, it's already happened.
There you go.
See, I mean, if we listen to Brother Ashad, these beings are already here. They're already talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get angry that the government is not transparent as we like, because we think decisions are being made at this level, but it's actually another level that may be non-human intelligence telling them what to do. Yes. I mean, if they're saying, look, we're sitting there talking to these people for 75 years, then you've already been invaded.
Yeah. Well, it's an occupation. That's what I kept telling people for a long time. I was like, you can't invade a place that you already occupy. And it kind of seems to me that the occupation happened ages ago. I mean, we are the byproduct of that occupation.
Yeah. The whole planet is.
Yeah.
Because you got the Indian folk. They're just a little more open about it. The East Indians, they talk about the flying machines and their kings flying around in the Vimanas.
Exactly.
They talk about that. The indigenous folk talk about that.
Yes.
Of every planet. I mean, of every culture. Yeah. The Celtics talk about it. They have their... Yeah, so here we are. Yes, it's Cornelius and Peter. Yep. But here we are. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. So here we are. And, and if you look at that, for them to bow down at their feet, they must have thought they were gods,
which
means that some of them must have looked very much like us. All of them weren't serpent looking or blonde blue eye, but some of them may have been. And also the statement from Hebrews, to make sure you treat people the way they need to be treated, because you may be entertaining angels unaware. Well, that's another way of saying some of these beings are here and they could look just like us and you don't know it. So it's right there, but we weren't taught to look at it that way.
Yeah.
Well, it's 100%. I mean,
and some people, I'm not saying they did it on purpose.
A lot of it goes back to we're taught from a pulpit usually, and we're not taught the sociology or the anthropology. We're just, unless you go to school or unless you submit yourself to a teaching.
And even then, you can't go too far out.
Right. Right.
Like you can now with Gobekli Tepe and all that. Yeah, you couldn't do that. You lose your livelihood.
Yeah. Yep.
And a lot of ministers don't talk about this now. Now, I'm in an open denomination. I mean, I don't report to a bishop and all that.
Sure.
But I got to tell you, as I wasn't raised Catholic, and I'm not big on all the theology, even though I love the ritual and whatever. The point I'm trying to make is Catholicism is really the only religion in the West that's talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
They talk about it.
Since Benedict did the thing in 2009, talking about would you baptize a space for a star person, talking about that they're our brothers and sisters, trying to prepare you for the genetic thing because they're enough like us that they can recreate and I mean, the Catholic Church is the only denomination in the West that's taking this seriously with all its flaws. So I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
That's talking about the possibility. Now, I know some Protestant people who are saying the Catholic Church is screwed up and they're the devil and they're preparing us for an extraterrestrial savior. And that's a no-no. Okay, you can look at it that way. Too. But I think that they're trying to... They know some things we don't, and they're just trying to get us on board. But even they're saying, it doesn't take away your Christianity. It doesn't have to take away your faith. You can put that into your pipe and smoke it. You can have a populated universe and still be a Christian, or you can be a Catholic Christian or a Muslim. You can do that. You just got to shift some things around, and you got to think about what does it mean? What does God mean? But if your God is about genocide, if we look at First Samuel chapter 15, when it talk about when Saul gets in trouble because Yahweh wants him to commit genocide. Okay, it's right there. And Samuel goes and says, you didn't do Yahweh's will. I wanted you to kill men, women, children, the donkeys, the goats, everybody.
All of it.
And he didn't do it. And then Samuel, who probably needs some type of psychiatric help, takes the king and kills him to, in front of Yahweh, for Yahweh, then you, if your God will do that, then you'll do it.
Yeah.
If it's okay for your God, we're talking about what's going on in Palestine now and in the West Bank and Gaza. And we're saying that's genocide, right? And that's, we should never do that, right? That's what humanity's saying. But yet, Yahweh did it. And that was okay.
Right.
Perspective.
That's
brother.
Okay.
Perspectives.
That's okay. Same thing.
Yep.
Wipe out everything.
Yep.
I don't want to see a roach.
Yeah.
And so here we are. And I just on Christmas, on, you know, a few days before Christmas. And so I just say to the listeners, you know, you can call me, talk bad about my mother, whatever you want to do, but I'm not making it up. It's right there. And you can look at it in any translation you want. But if you say I am a follower of the teachings of Jesus, I'm not even saying you're calling yourself a Christian. Because he wasn't a Christian. Christianity didn't come so much late as we know it.
Yeah.
You can't justify those things that he's doing.
Yeah, because back then it was just called the way.
You can't. Yep. Correct. I mean, you can't justify what Yahweh is saying.
Right.
Or any of them, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Essentially, you're right. I mean,
humanity,
as I've said, has been, it seems to be caught in the middle of something. It's been going on forever. And we get played.
However, I want to end on an up note, or at least talk about an up note. You got to remember, hold on, that humanity, you know, they fire Yahweh. Now, he goes behind the scenes. He goes behind the scenes. But they tell Yahweh in chapter 8, the people want human rule. They say Yahweh is his prophet Samuel and his three sons are corrupt. And you have to ask yourself that. Now, I sound like I'm on Ancient Aliens. You have to ask yourself.
Is it possible?
Yeah. You have to ask yourself. But you have to ask yourself if Yahweh is God, why do they want a human king?
Yeah.
It's right there. I mean, they're saying, "Hey, man,
yeah.
You, it's something. You know, we need somebody else." And they do fire Yahweh. Now Yahweh's behind the scenes doing foreign policy. You know, he's still pulling strings, but he leaves. The point is that the people came together because they said, "What's he going to do? Kill all of us? Then he has nobody to rule."
Yeah,
that's the good part of the story. Now, Saul just wasn't the man for the gig. You know, he had the depression or whatever he was suffering from. But they said, we want a human king from now on. Human king for human beings. That's what we want.
Yeah.
And they got it. It didn't last that long, but they got it.
Right.
And what they did, and what they did with Solomon, see, Solomon was building all these temples to Asherah and Dagon and what's the other brother's name? Baal. And you know, because again, it was a multiplicity of gods who helped them. They weren't Yahweh. And so rather than say Solomon was, you know, he just had a lot of gods, man, and a lot of money.
Yeah.
What did they do? They say, well, it's because his wives did that.
Right.
It's because of his wives that he sinned.
Yeah.
No. He was building temples to them because they helped him.
He also had, didn't he have some kind of ring or something as well that helped him
do
stuff, allegedly, right?
I don't know. I know about this ring, but I would say
I've heard about the rumors of the ring, and I know the legend behind the ring.
But I don't know if that's
right.
But that may be something else. What we're talking about is that he acknowledged these other beings, but the priests and stuff, they said, no, you can't do that. So rather than they blame the women, they said, well, if he wasn't married to these other, the women made him worship these other gods. But no, he did it. Well, yeah. He did it.
I'm suspecting he had a lot of help. So, you know.
I mean, when you look at some of the stuff objectively and you start to dissect it and study, this is where you come to. But then back around to the Christmas story, and you got this enlightened, elevated child that's born.
Well, it's hope,
that
right?
No matter how you split it.
Isn't that
star what child. We call him the star child today.
Yeah. Well, no matter how you split it, it was the son of God and man. That is hybridization.
We are hybrids because yes. we are Homo sapiens sapiens. We are the results of those reboots.
Yeah,
we are too. Yeah. And when Jesus says, "Greater works than I do, you will do," he's saying there's nothing in me that you don't have,
right?
Except that it's only potential in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have to change your consciousness.
Yeah.
Fact.
You have to change your way of being. And that's what love is about.
And you live changing this life. You model this life after me. The same things you've said.
Yeah, I can show you.
You will do also.
I'm the way. Watch me. Do what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty hopeful message, in my opinion. The world's pretty.
That's why they call it the gospel, brother. It's the good news.
That's what I'm saying. And
you know what I used to do? Before church, I would turn on other ministers and listen to them. And then I turn the sound down. And I'm like, these people are in pain. They barely smile. They're supposed to be telling you what the good news is.
Right. But
some of the guys. Yeah. Some of the guys look like they caught themselves in their zipper, you know? And I'm like, this is supposed to be a little joy here. It's supposed to be good news. And so, but that's what the gospel message is. And that's why I hope we can leave it there.
Right.
I'm not saying we got to hang up right now. I'm just saying that, you know, that's the message of the season.
Yes.
Yeah. That I have anything that Buddha has in them. I'm a son of God. My daughter's a daughter of God. Whatever they had in them, I have in me. I just have to remember it. And I can't let the world tell me that I don't. I can't let them tell me what I need to believe. I can't let them tell me what I'm... You know, Maya Angelou wrote a book called I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. The teachings of Jesus. Look at Mandela when he was in prison. He said, "You got my body here, but you can't take this from me. No. This is who I am."
Yeah, you will get that. You hear that in the charismatic side of things a lot. Don't let them steal your joy. You can't let them steal your joy.
You can't, because once they got
that's fundamental. To keeping yourself centered, to keep yourself focused. You can't let your joy go.
Right. Hmm. You're right, Joe. But the thing is, a lot of us don't know who we are, so we don't have a center.
Yep.
When I'm keeping you so busy that you can barely take a breath, that you got to pay your mortgage, you got to pay your rent, your child's on drugs, you can't put the bottle down, your wife cheating on you. I mean, when it's a whole bunch of mess. Yeah. And so I'm keeping you busy. You don't know who you are. Or I'll keep you so busy that you know more about the Philadelphia Eagles than you know what your government's doing.
Right. Right.
And that's how I control the populace.
It is.
One temple, one God, one banking system. That's the hierarchy. And then y'all are down here. And it's been working ever since. But now people are waking up.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. And I think that, you know, it is, there's symbolism here, you know, Jesus, the light. There's a reason, because it's light and dark. But people call it good and evil, but how it was taught to me was light and dark. Those are the terminologies that I received.
Yeah.
And I understand that in those terms. It is light and dark.
Yeah. And you know, you learn from both of them. Mm-hmm. You know, darkness when you're in your mother's womb, when you make love, and, you know, I'm not saying it's always in the dark, but it's the nighttime. It's the time of rest. It's the time you're in your mother's womb. You put a seed in the ground. It needs to be in the dark. You know, there's something the solstice talks about. That's what the solstice, the longest night of the year, you know, and then we start getting light again. You need both. You can't appreciate the darkness without the light. And you can't. So there's all that symbolism, and we just put stuff over top of it to make it worse.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
But I just say to everybody who's listening, whatever your faith tradition is, I hope you enjoy this time of year. I wish you a merry everything and a happy always.
Oh, I'm so.
And because this is the holiday, holy day season, certainly not for everyone, but for us in Western culture, and right, this is it. The solstice is going to be next week, you know, is the 20th, the 21st. And then we're in Advent now, Christmas. It's just a beautiful time of year. And, you know, just don't let them take it from you.
Yeah. It's the one time of year that me and you talked about this several months ago. It's like there's always something a little different around Christmas. There's like a different vibration.
It is. To me, it is. Some people are a little more friendly. They're generous with a smile.
Yes.
The lights are up. I like buying gifts, and I like giving gifts. And I wasn't always like this. I was when I was a child, and then I lost it. Mm-hmm. And my ex is a Christmas freak, and my daughter was, and it's contagious. It got back to me because I was so busy into the historical Jesus, and he really wasn't born in December. Yeah. And, you know, this wasn't his message. I was like, bah, humbug.
And yeah, that was me, man. See? That's me.
But yeah,
and like I still have a hard time getting into it just because the commercialization
doesn't matter.
I do, but you know what? I just go with it now. I just say, you know what? This Christmas was a little. It's going to be a little. You know, we went to New York for 3 days. That was the big gift. You know, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And so there's a few gifts under the tree, but it's not the big deal. Not, it never really is. But I just, I just love it that we. The people I run into they have the spirit. And yes, it is commercialized, but we can't control that, but we control what we do with it.
Right.
I mean, I don't mind buying a gift and giving it to a loved one and see their face light up.
Yes, I enjoy doing that. And having kids has softened me towards it.
Yes. More,
you know, because now I've got a 4-year-old for tomorrow. And
you got those memories, man. So
So you have those good times with it now, and you get to see that light up. You get to see the excitement with the lights and everything. It's
tell. You can teach him that the season is more. It's not just about this, and still enjoy it.
Yeah,
they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah,
you know, you just don't let Madison Avenue take all your money. but you just say, but you know. I'll give Madison Avenue a little bit of money. I give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and I give to God the things that are God's.
Right.
I think a wise rabbi said that a long time
ago. Once upon a time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Joy. Joy. I mean, that's literally what it is. It's all joy. It doesn't matter if we got here from, you know, following a spaceship at some point or whatever it was, right? The message is that we live in a pretty dark place. And by dark, I don't mean... a good kind of dark. I mean, there are people out there who are literally trying constantly to bring us down. And if there's at least one month out of an entire year that we can all just sit down and
chill. And it's
out.
More than one month, because there are people, there are good people out there. You know what I mean? So, so enjoy your Christmas, guys.
Yeah. If we can do
enjoy it
for this little bit of time, what says we can't do it all the time?
You can do it whenever you want.
Exactly. That's my point exactly.
That's the message.
I love the message. I mean, I hope everybody else did. I love this.
We'll find out. We'll find out when they call in.
Right. We'll find out later.
Yeah. We'll find out when we walk in the parking lot and people got baseball bats waiting for us. Then we'll know that they like the message.
I think it's okay. I mean, you know.
I think it is. I'm joking. I'm joking. I think, you know. Those who have an ear to hear, let them hear.
There you go. That's it. And I think that, you know, like I said, it's a great time of year. You've got all that stuff there, you know, for the people who really, really love the ancient astronaut theory. Look, you've got stars, you've got, you know, craft, you've got beings. You've I mean, we didn't even touch on it, but you've got elves. I mean, what do you think an elf is? It flies. Come on. Santa, he's in a sleigh, for God's sake. He's flying around. Come on. You know what that is. Let's be real. It's all around us. You just got to drink the cup of eggnog and be done with it, guys. You can't escape it anymore. Grush or no grush. That's just how it is.
Well, final thoughts, everybody, real quick. We got a few minutes left. Final thoughts. Ron, you're up.
I think that's it. I think that my final thought is that we just need to be better people. You know, 24 is coming up. I think we need to be better. I think we can be better. And I think Michael has shown us there's a lot of us now who are kind of raising that awareness to that point. It used to sound like a bunch of hippy dippy new age stuff. It's not, guys. It's real. And all it comes down to is basically just, you know, raising your consciousness, thinking about other people, having a little bit of empathy and being a good person. That's how you change the world. Joe.
Brandon, you next.
Well, the last two episodes, I have to say, have made me think a lot. And just when I think I'm starting to come to grips with all of that again, he just blows me apart. So
That's a good thing.
That's why I've not been talking much this episode. I've been listening and just thinking. And like, I have my Bible app open on the other screen. I'm like scrolling around.
You fact checking, Brandon? Are you fact checking?
No, I'm just like, oh, what else? Let me think. What else connects to that?
Oh, there's a lot.
A few in the chat here, and you know, we are keeping up with what Reverend Michael was throwing out too, mm-hmm. and grabbing those and getting the references out. So, anything else?
Not for me.
All right, Reverend Michael, you're up.
Well, I'm going to be shameless. I have a new book that just came out December 3rd. It's a book of sermons called Enlightenment. Well, I forgot to bring it up. It's on. It's a hardcover and Kindle, and it's on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles. And again, you know, 'tis the season. I'm just saying, you know, hug your loved ones a little tighter. Give them a kiss. If there's someone you need to make up with, do that. Don't hold a grudge going into the new year. Tell somebody you love them. Tell them again. Get out, you know, look at nature. Just live, because this is the time you got. And if not now, when?
That's fantastic. So, guys, this is the wrap-up of our fourth holiday special. Fourth holiday special, guys. And what that means is I'm not going to do the typical rundown. This is the fourth holiday special. Y'all already know how to find us. You know what all of our social medias are. You know what the email is. You know what to do when there's a sighting. So remember, 'tis the season to be jolly. Be joyful. Be happy. And be the light in the darkness.
Amen.
And stay wild and weird, everybody.
Amen.
Yes. See, you guys didn't know you were coming to church, did you? All right.